Welcome to episode 131 of the Geocaching Podcast. Second Geocaching Gift Guide, recorded live on November 21st, 2009. I'm your host, XPunkX with
Daryl W4.
If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Put a button on the right to participate. Our voicemail line is 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Welcome back, Daryl. I love this time of year, and I love this actual show, so I'm excited to have this show, the gift-giving show, back. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. And, you know, it really is exciting, and not just because of the time of year, but I've barely been able to sleep since we last talked, all because the CacherCon 2010 Metro Detroit event has been published, and we have the venue and the time set. So we've got GC2158P on GC.com, and we'll link to that on the show notes. But there's also a page on our Motor City Cache Machine website, and we'll link to that, that has some more details. The short version of the story is that it's February 6th in Troy, Michigan. The keynote and first session starts at 11 a.m., and that's going to be our live geocaching podcast recording. So join us live then. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we're going to continue on with a whole bunch of sessions that Andy and I are probably not going to be involved with.
Yeah, but, probably not.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the last session is going to start at 6 p.m. We'll wrap up about 7. And we've got a number of great session ideas in the works. We're still looking for people who might be interested in hosting one. So if you have an idea, drop me an email at darylw4@geocachingpodcast.info with a title and a short description. And we're going to be voting on all those sessions. December 12th is the whole group that's putting this thing on. So get them in pretty soon if you can.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about coming out and doing another live show. Our last one was so much fun. And not only that, but getting to learn a lot about other experienced cachers, about maybe even some topics that I don't even know about. And you know, I'm just excited to hang out with everybody, have a fun time, and it'll be a blast.
Yeah, and we're looking for a lot more people than we had at the last one, obviously. I think the theater session room that we've got planned is about 100-120 seats. We've got the break room, we'll call it, for refreshments and just hanging out, which is another like 40. And of course, people are going to come and go. There's literally thousands of caches in the area. Roseville is maybe a 20-minute drive from the venue, so I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people getting out there to cache their butts off if it's nice and not too cold, because, you know, it
is February, yeah, in Michigan.
And, you know, there's just such cache saturation in that area. You know, I don't have any doubt that people could go out there and in, you know, 8 to 10 hours pick up over 100 caches.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Now, I hear that you did some other caching this weekend. Can you tell us about what you found?
Yeah, well, we did go out with some of the MCM crew for a total of 62 finds. We actually hit our 3,100th find during the trip, kind of, you know, unexpectedly. We knew it was coming, but it was just like, oh, well, we just passed our 3,100th somewhere along there. And that's only 2 weeks after we did our 3,000th find. I did write up a little blog post on that, and it's just kind of, you know, numbers don't mean anything so much anymore, but it's fun to pass those points and not so much to worry about what those are. Sunday, though, my buddy and I went out shooting from like the Howell to Lansing area along Grand Avenue. No caching at all, just a fun day of going out and shooting. Got some really cool train shots in the fog, and that made the whole weekend worthwhile.
Well, for me, I really didn't get a whole lot of things done this weekend. We got some wood cut and moved into my in-law's house for burning this winter to keep the house warm, but no caching for me. It was been actually kind of interesting. Saturday, went ahead and went into work and did a timed upgrade to Windows 7 from Vista to see kind of how long it took and how long it was going to take us to get all of our people onto that. But really, that's really about it. And, you know, the good thing is it didn't take too long, but it's going to take longer than I'd really hoped to do. But, oh, well, you got to move up, I guess, sometimes. So, but really, we've just been just kind of doing that and, you know, getting ready to go to my parents' house this weekend for Thanksgiving. But really, the sad thing is I have to work on Friday, so we have to come back. How about you, Daryl? Any plans for the Thanksgiving?
Well, sadly, I got to work on Friday, too. And it's going to be kind of a nasty Thursday around here in the Detroit area, so sounds like a good day to be indoor with the family anyway. But no great caching plans, probably little or no caching at all for us.
Yeah, it's about the same for us here. My sister's coming in and we're going to actually do Christmas, so that should actually be, you know, should be a fun time. Well, one of our listeners called in voicemail to our voicemail line on feedback for episode 129. So let's hear that before we get into the news.
Hey, this is WV Angler. I was calling in because just now getting around to listening to the last couple of weeks of podcasts, and I just had a comment on the episode about number of hides or number of finds before a hide. Basically, I just wanted to give a little input about my opinion on that. That I would like to see what similar to what Daryl was talking about with a quiz. Just as a kind of just a short checkbox survey each time you submit a cache for publishing, just, you know, four or five of the most important things, maybe from the guidelines that they could make you checkmark, because whatever they ask you just to check whether or not you've read the guidelines, most people just check that without, you know, actually, they just maybe even lie about it. They just say, yeah, sure, I've read the guidelines. But if there's a couple things like, you know, if this was on private property, do you have permission, or is the logbook waterproof, or can you reasonably maintain this cache in a reasonable period of time? Those just really quick check mark boxes before it would go through to the reviewer. I think that would be a good thing. And then I don't know how it is kind of opinion on this, but it seems like there's so many bad caches that are not maintained by people who are no longer in the game. And I would kind of like to see some kind of a way that Groundspeak could filter email addresses that are bad email address accounts whenever there's no way of contacting someone, if there was some way that they could filter that so that people that don't respond, that they could, on these bad caches, they could get rid of those a little quicker. Because it seems like there's a lot of those that are bad, and you maybe do the needs archive log or something, and it just doesn't get reviewed very efficiently that way. I don't know. Just something to think about there. And also on the when you're talking about how to approach other cachers about a bad hide, something that I heard once that has always kind of stuck with me whenever you're given criticism is the concept of a praise sandwich. And that's always to begin and end any criticism with a bit of praise. And I think that has always helped me whenever I've had to talk to someone, even just in ordinary life about things. So thought I'd give you a little bit of my input. Thanks for the show.
Well, thanks, WV Angler. We appreciate your call. And I like that praise sandwich term. I think I'm going to have to try to use that one. We also had some feedback, though, from episode 130. Andy, you want to play that?
Yeah, good day. There it is. This is Paul, KF400X. And concerning the routes and stuff like that, when I plan out a route, what I do is I get a bookmark list set up, and then I go to jcashin.com maps, and I just start bookmarking caches I want to do along the route. It's not the fancy high-tech route stuff, but it does seem to work for me. That way you do know caches that you get are close to your route, or be running an interstate that's close, rest stop caches or and stuff like that. And then I make a PQ out of the bookmark list and bring it down into GSAC, which I then appropriate number them in order, and then I print out a run sheet from GSAC for everybody. And also I make the bookmark list public. That way, my friends who are going out caching can get all the caches and preload all their GPSs with everything. And also, I do not mind routes from my home being public, as I have a cache in my backyard, so it doesn't make much difference. Anyhow, just thought I'd make those comments there. Thank you. Nice shows you have. Loved listening to them. Thank you. Bye.
Wow, we had quite a bit of feedback this week. Keep it coming, guys. We actually had one more from Jeff Bolden, too, but unfortunately it won't play. But luckily, he's on live with us, and he's going to share that tip with us now. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, I was listening to the show last week on Pocket Queries also, and I have a trick I learned very early on. After I would like blow my 5 pocket queries in one day, messing them up. When I create a pocket query, I do not check mark the day of week while I'm creating it. I go in there, I create my pocket query, set it up the way I want, and then submit it or save it. I will then go back to the pocket query list, and the icon just to the left, couple to the left, looks like a little teeny tiny Google map. If you click on that, it will preview your pocket query in the Google map, and you can look at it and visually make sure that it is what you want and that you're getting the results you want. Then once I've verified that it's exactly what I want, then I will go back in and edit it and add the day of the week I want it to run. That way, I don't accidentally get a pocket query run that has nothing in it, which has happened to me quite a few times before I did that.
Well, Jeff, thank you for the tip, and thanks for being patient with us and calling in since we did weren't able to actually play your voicemail. Now, if anyone else has any tips or tricks, go ahead and call them anytime to our voicemail, and that number is 206-350-3GPS. Daryl, we've got a show chock full of news this week, too. Can you kick us off?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we learned about a new device for iPod Touch users launched at the Consumer Electronics Show. The Dual XGPS 300 is a one-piece GPS and battery cradle with a car kit for automotive navigation. The battery claims to double the life of the first or second generation iPod, or iPod Touch, and the car kit includes a cigarette lighter adapter and the suction mount for the windshield. The company claims the cradle will work with many location apps, and they have actually used it with GroundSpeak's geocaching iPhone app. The full kit, minus the iPod Touch, is said to sell for under $180. We'll include the link in their or to their website in the show notes as well.
Well, and that is true. They said that they had found their first geocache with the unit itself, so it does work with the geocaching app. We did contact them on that. The GSAC, Geocaching Swiss Army Knife, version 7.6.2, was released on Sunday. New in this release is support for the DeLorme EarthMate GPSRs, but also included were a number of changes and fixes. We'll have a link to that information in our show notes, or head over to gsak.net to download the new version.
And today we got version 3.0 of the Geocaching iPhone app dropped in the iTunes store. This update allows for browsing of photos, map rotation on the iPhone 3GS, map and information caching, an embedded web browser, and more. It's a free upgrade for all existing users, or $9.99 US for new users. We'll link to the iTunes store for that app in our show notes.
As a holiday gift for non-iPhone users, GroundSpeak announced through their Go Geocaching account on Twitter this morning that they were working on a geocaching app for Android, and looking to develop for other platforms in the future. We'll link to their Twitter account in the show notes, and look forward to seeing that progress.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post them on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. With the holidays nearly upon us, my thoughts turn towards the giving and receiving of gifts. So with that in mind, have you ever given a gift membership to geocaching.com? Only 21% replied yes to this question. The reason one cacher gave a membership is they left their GPS at a cache and the cache owner returned it to them and would not take any money for the shipping. So they extended his membership to say thank you. Aren't cachers nice people? So tell me, have you ever given a gift membership to geocaching.com? Want to find out more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
It is that time of year again when we turn our thoughts to the gifts that we'll give others, and some that we hope to receive ourselves too. Tonight we bring you our second geocaching gift-giving guide. We'll give you some gift ideas that we'd like to receive ourselves in six price ranges, but these are all based on U.S. prices within the U.S.
Of course, there are many great gift ideas to be had, including most of the options from last year's list. We'll link to that show again in the show notes if you want to go back and check those out. We'd also love to hear ideas from the audience. If you have something to share during the live recording, call 724-444-7444, TalkCast ID 7525, and hit star 8 to request to talk. If you have ideas to share after listening to the recording, give us a call on the voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS, or just join us on next week's Cacher Coffee. So Andy, are you ready to kick us off for the under $10 range?
Yes, but first, just a quick disclosure before we get into this list. Some of the products that we've selected here are available from a sponsor and supporter of the show, and were picked because we either have purchased them from Cache Advance or hope to receive them ourselves sometime. The first thing that I want to say in the under $10 range, I really like FireTacks. They're great for night caching, placing night caches. They're great for shining the flashlight, and you get to see the trail around you. That'd be my first pick for the under $10. The next thing that I'd pick is the REI Nalgene water bottle. You can't have too many water bottles with you. It's $9.95. It's found at REI.com, and it's BPA-free, like we've talked about, so it won't hurt you or the environment. So those are my two picks for the under $10 range. Daryl, what would you pick?
Well, my first thing would be the Geocaching with Geosphere app for those iPod Touch and iPhone users. It's $7.99 from the iTunes store. Great alternative to the geocaching app by Groundspeak. And I like it better for the power users, and it works much better offline from my experience. And then my second pick would be the official large geocache with logbook at $9.99 from Groundspeak. And that's an 8.5 by 6 inch locking plastic container with the logbook and pencils. So nice thing to give and just pretty much drop anywhere you want. But now let's get into that $10 to $25 range. And I'm going to kick that one off with the small cache stone from Groundspeak at $14.99. Very nice, easy, cool cache. And then let's go with the magnetic vehicle travel bug from Cache Advanced. And that goes for $11.95. And, you know, I've got the one on our car, which doesn't get discovered very often, but it is a lot of fun to have.
Yeah, we've got one on our car, too. And it is a lot of fun to have. I've had a few people, yourself, you guys, and a couple other people from the last meet and greet that found it. But no one has just discovered it on the road. But, you know, it's still a lot of fun to have there. My pick for the $10 to $25 range, or one of my picks, is the Horizon headlamp from Cache Advance, and that's going to be $18.95. It's great. It's going to light up your path. It's the LEDs are amazing on it, and you can just see in the dark. And so that's a great thing to have there. My next thing is the Hide a Cache starter kit from Groundspeak. That's going to be $19.99, and it comes with all of the things that you would need to get started placing a geocache with a few trinkets and I think a travel bug. So it's really a good way to get started in placing a cache. Now, let's move on to our $25 to $50 range. The stainless steel Java press is available at $39.50 from REI. And not only is it good for coffee, but you can also make tea in it while you're camping and over the campfire. It's a great thing way to keep up with your drinks that you normally get at home while you're out camping. The other thing that I would go with, since a lot of us geocachers love to take pictures, there's an Aquapak compact waterproof camera case, and that's available for $40 at REI, and that can you can basically get your camera wet and it won't ruin your camera. So it's great to have, especially even just in the rain if your camera is not waterproof. So go ahead and check one of those out. Daryl?
Yeah, and you know, that's a great way too if you don't have a waterproof camera to just have something out on the trail, because you know, water can get into these smaller cameras and just really wreak havoc. So nice, cheap way to get that camera outdoors even in the less than favorable weather.
Now, Daryl,
before
you get into your $25 to $50 range, too, I want to urge and encourage everybody that is listening to this on their iPods or their iPhones or anytime recorded later on, go ahead and check the link in our show notes at geocachingpodcast.info. We will have a link to the chat log that's happening right now. There are definitely a lot of good suggestions and ideas for gifts that our people are putting in our chat, just so much so that we can't even read them out. So go ahead and check that out. If you're in our chat room and want to make sure that it gets on the podcast, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444.
Okay, and we'll get back to my $25 to $50 picks, and I'm going to kick that off with the DeLorme Map Library annual subscription for the PN series users. That's only $30 from DeLorme. And it really is a nice thing for those of us with the PN series. Even though I don't have it or use it myself, it's one of those things that I'd kind of like to have. And for those of us who like to print our own logs, I'm going to pick the Right in the Rain All-Weather Copier Paper. You know, 200-sheet pack is available for $28.95. And that works in any laser printer. And it's from Right in the Rain. And for those who don't know the Right in the Rain products, it's basically water-resistant paper that still uses just about any writing utensil. Now, Andy, we are up to the $50 to $150 range. We're getting up there in price. What do you've got for us?
Well, one of the thing that I picked for this $50 to $150 range is the GeoMate Junior Easy GPS device. It's going to be $69.95, and you can get that at cashadvance.com. It's a great starter kit for a starter GPS for those of you who are just getting into it. We've reviewed it here on the show. It's fairly cheap and an easy gift to give those people in your life that you want to help get started caching.
Yeah, great thing for the kids too that want something else to go out with, and you don't want to give them, you know, a good GPS yet.
Yeah, it is perfect for that.
And my pick is going to be related to my last one, but unfortunately, if you have an inkjet printer, the Right in the Rain paper gets to be a little bit pricier. So the WeatherJet inkjet paper, 100-sheet pack, is going to be $78.95, and that's available from Right in the Rain again. But let's move on to the $150 to $250 range. Now we're getting into the good toys, and I'm going to pick the Flip Ultra HD. And that's one of those little tiny video cameras from Flip. Really nice to throw in the cash bag and just carry around. And the thing I like about the Ultra HD versus a Minnow is that it does have some better options for powering the device. Those are $199.99 from Flip Video. And again, I should probably mention that just about on any of these things, if you shop around, you can probably find some better prices than what we're calling off.
Now, my pick for the $150 to $250 range is going to be the 8-gig iPod Touch from Apple. That runs you about $199, and it's perfect for, well, several different things. I mean, I like to think that you'd probably put this podcast in there. I mean, I'd hope so. But other than that, it's great for having your offline caching with all of the different programs that we've mentioned, especially with the geocaching official app and the other apps that are out there. It's perfect for that. I own one, and it's I love it, and especially for caching. Again, it doesn't have the GPS on it, but with that other external device that we talked about earlier, you could get the GPS, or even without it, it's perfect because you can do your offline caching, paperless caching. Now, moving on to the $250 and more range, I'm going to go ahead and say the Dakota 20, and that's going to be available at Garmin.com for $349.99. It's a cool little GPS that we like here. So go ahead and check that out at Garmin.com. Daryl?
Well, I'm going to go with another GPS, which I guess is fairly predictable. But I'm going to pick the PN40 with the Topo USA 8 bundle. at $370 roughly, cash advance to actually carry sand, and that's who we're going to link to. Again, you can search around for some other prices. Walmart has a similar kit for $305, but I believe that's the older kit with Topo 7. I couldn't find anything anywhere on which version is included with that kit, but the 8 is so much better from everything I've heard, and it's worth the extra cash. And unfortunately, it looks like it's about $100 to upgrade, so I haven't done that myself. I'm still sitting at version 7.
Well, and I just saw someone post this in our chat, too. And I didn't think about this before, but a netbook is a perfect opportunity, too. Netbooks are basically little laptops. They're perfect for caching and keeping in the car. You can run GSAC on them. You can do your maps and things like that. They're perfect for keeping that database in your car. I've got one, and they're perfect for that. And I would say I would also add that in there too. The one I have is the MSI Wind, and I like that one.
Yeah, there are some really nice new netbooks coming out too. So, you know, shop around a little bit. You can get them. You know, the nice thing about the netbook to me was always that it was that really small device. But they're coming out now with 12-inch netbooks that have a little bit better resolution, a little bit better keyboard, which always makes it nicer, but it's a little bit harder to use in the car.
Yeah, that is true. Now, if anyone else has any other gift ideas that would be perfect for people to give as a gift, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Press the star 8 on your keypad to get into our request to chat. Now, Daryl, I think... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we have a few people in the chat room really talking about the netbooks now. And one of the things that kind of goes along with the netbook that is pretty cool is something like the MiFi, which is available from many of the major carriers, that allows you to use not only your netbook or laptop on a wireless connection. You know, it's a 3G to Wi-Fi converter, basically. So you can get that thing, set it up in the car, keep it in your pocket. You know, it has, I think it's like 3 or 4 hours of battery life, and carry it around with you. Power your iPod Touch Wi-Fi from that, power your netbooks with that to give them the internet access, and more than one user can share it. And it's really, really a cool little thing. The downfall is it's going to cost you in the U.S. roughly about $50 to $60 a month for the five gigabyte limit.
Yeah, and another thing that we forgot to mention is the geocaching.com membership. That will run you $30 for the year, U.S., and it's perfect because you get a lot more features with geocaching.com. You can run pocket queries, you can bookmark lists and things like that. It's a perfect little thing. I wouldn't be able to live and do caching without that.
Yeah, and again, go back and check out the show from last year. We have a number of good ideas there that, you know, certainly are still good now.
Well, I want to thank you all for subscribing to the podcast. If you found any value in this content of this podcast, please consider helping us make this show sound better by visiting geocachingpodcast.info and clicking the donate button in the upper right-hand corner. For your donation, we'll give you a link to our Plus podcast, which has some tips and behind-the-scenes stuff here. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line at 206-3503-GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a great week and happy caching.